This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bouncing back against Minnesota. Come the Guardians, baby.
It's a good team.
The team we weren't expecting to do something. Might be doing something.
I think we're going to be involved all summer. You know what I'm saying?
I don't see.
And part of the reason I say that is just that, you know, they got out. Like, again, you can't win it in April, but you can sure lose it. Ask the White Sox. I mean, they're 11 and a half back out of the first month of the season. Ouch. And I mean, we all kind of expected that out of the White Sox, but still, I mean, you like, how disappointing is that as a baseball fan to know your team only has 7 wins going into the second month of the season? And we've kind of been there before. We understand what that's like. But the fact that Guardians are 17-13 right now, that it looked like they were slipping. They lost 3, and then they were able to come back and win a couple of these. I really think the schedule is pretty awesome as far as making sure that the last couple weeks of the year and where you are in the middle of the season makes things interesting. Because, you know, the biggest time we see the Tigers isn't until the last month of the year. They have 6 games against them in, like, the final 14 or 20 games of the year. And, like, that whole last month is all against the AL Central. And I know I'm looking way ahead, and I know the Browns will be playing then too. So, but I also just think that, you know what, they gave you the month that you needed right out of the gate to just kind of be competitive. You're game and a half back, and you know, you beat up on the Twins, the Royals, and you'll see the Tigers when you see them.
Steven Vogt last night after the game had some comments that I thought were kind of interesting. And let's just hear what Steven had to say, and then we'll break it down.
Okay.
I love it. It's a very different team, but we're fun. We have a good time. We're gonna have our ups and downs. We're gonna have our stretches where we look great. We're gonna have stretches where we need to work. And at the end of the day, like, we take it one day at a time.
He likes this team. We're a different team. I think that's somewhat interesting, because didn't it feel going into this season that it was a similar team to last year? A team that you didn't maybe have great expectations for, and they exceeded expectations. And Andy, I would think that expectations were equally as low going into this year, just because, you know, you traded Josh Naylor, you got rid of Andrés Giménez, you weren't sure where this team was going to go. Did they have enough starting pitching and everything else? Those questions are still to be answered. But I think it's interesting that Steven really likes this bunch and have some fun, and they've played some pretty solid baseball. They're right there, obviously, in the division right now. It's only May 1st, but still.
You know, last year they had such a good start that he could kind of do things on autopilot. He's had to manage a little bit more this year. I mean, he's had to make some – I mean, it's only 1 month in, but I kind of feel like when you start making decisions that, hey, Roque is going to have to sit down here for a little bit. I've got 2 guys that are playing a little bit better. You know, who am I hitting in the two-hole? Maybe I want to get Ramirez more at-bats, but I don't know if this is the right way to do it. Maybe we score more runs if we drop him in the lineup. Like, I feel like he's had to manage more this year in the first month of the season than he did last year. And, you know, obviously he had to manage in the playoffs. But with 162, I mean, there are times – I'm not saying he's on autopilot or any manager's on autopilot, but you can kind of work your way through issues. And I think that's where he kind of is right now. He's trying to work his way through some of the personnel issues of who to be on the field, when he needs him on the field, how to try to generate a little bit more offense and win key games. And last night, I think, is big, though, when you brought in a guy in Ortiz that things did not feel right in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And maybe last night was huge, not only for the team, but for him confidence-wise.
If he can solidify some things, that takes care of a spot. You know, because I think all season long, you know, we're thinking this rotation might be, you know, kind of in flux, right?
Mm-hmm.
You would think. Tanner Bibee's locked in.
Mm-hmm.
I would think Luis Ortiz is locked in just because they went out, they picked him up, they brought him in thinking he's going to be in the rotation, and he's going to be a part of this. So he's going to get a little bit of time to find himself. And, you know, if he puts together a couple of games like he had last night, well, then that takes care of everything. You know, give your team 5-6 good innings, get into the seventh inning. That's outstanding. And I think that's what they're looking for out of him. Ben Lively takes up a rotation spot. And Ben has done a nice job since he's been here. No qualms with him. I think he does what a starting pitcher is supposed to do. He gives you a chance to win.
Right.
And then you figure out the rest of the stuff. Gavin Williams should be just fine. You know, the problem is all of these guys, including Tanner Bibee, have been a little up and down. You know, you're not looking at anybody and thinking, well, there's Corey Kluber. There's Shane Bieber when Shane had it going. You know, everybody in the rotation right now is, well, let's see how this one goes today. And that can change. You know, you stack a couple of these in a row together, then all of a sudden it solidifies some things. And I like the fact that they've been competitive. They've remained competitive. You know, they're not buried in the division. I mean, you know, they're right there early on, which, fine, gives you a chance to compete. They've done that while these guys haven't completely found themselves yet.
Two interesting points. Slade Ciccone pitched last night in Columbus.
And they're, you know, and get a good look at him, right?
Yeah, I think he gave up 2 runs. Let me look at the box real quick. I thought, as I looked yesterday, he gave up he gave up 2 earned runs, that's right, and just 1 hit. He struck out 5. I mean, you know, and then he only walked 1. So there's some hope there, too. And then also, I mean, who knows where Bieber's going to be here? I got to think that if he can continue to feel a little bit better, yeah. I was reading this morning.
Saw that May might be, and yeah. This is May.
I don't. So to me, it sounds like help is on the way. Maybe, well, if they need it, you know what I'm saying.
If Shane Bieber's ready to go, you need it.
Well, the question is how fast are you trying to push him back? That's all. I'm not. You need him when he's ready. That's the key, right? You can't. If you start to panic a little, worth it.
I don't think this organization will ever push a guy like Shane Bieber to get on the mound if he's not ready to go. They didn't push Matthew Boyd last year, mm-mm. You know, and they just picked him up during the season. I they're going to take care of those arms that they always do. Right now, every starter's ERA is above 4. That's okay. You would expect maybe somebody to be, and that's the up and down that I've talked about, Andy. That's okay. This one didn't go as well. The only issue with that is, does this team have the offense to pick those guys up? And I think the offense has been better than anticipated. Do you think that's fair? Better than anticipated?
I think they're kind they're not maybe a tad more.
Doesn't
Like if you're ordering a steak, it's medium plus, right?
Doesn't it clearly seem, and let's just go around the infield real quick. It clearly seems like Carlos Santana is, you know, doing a victory lap. And if he's able to produce anything more than what he's done, okay. I think Carlos has been, can I use your word?
I mean, it depends on the word. A lot of them are 4 letters that'll get you fired.
This one's 4 letters, but it won't get me fired. It does start with F.
Go ahead.
I'm excited.
Fine. He's been fine.
But it was like some like collection of syllables I threw together.
That's my favorite Menigan word to describe anything in sports. He's fine. That's what he is. Kyle Manzardo can get you pumped up. Kyle, I think, has done a really nice job. And, you know, they've been able to get Kyle at bats while giving Carlos enough at bats and everything else. I'm hoping Carlos warms up a little bit because 219 doesn't do a whole lot for you. Right?
True.
That doesn't get you going. Gabe Arias at second base. He hasn't left you wanting much, has he? I mean, he's been okay. I mean, he's hit okay. He's been okay. I don't have any qualms about what he's done. And we know he's a placeholder. So I think we have two guys who are placeholders on the right side of the infield. Only a matter of time and when is it that Bizana shows up. And can I throw another name at you?
Mm-hmm.
It's only a matter of time until Ralph Velasquez shows up.
You know, it's funny. You got your eye on him. I've got my eye on
CJ.
On CJ Kafis.
Yeah. And he's been hitting like crazy, too. So you clearly have two first basemen who might be on the way up. And
He can play outfield, though, too, can't he?
Baseball
Reference thinks he can play outfield left and right. So
well,
I think that his best shot at getting up here is going to probably be in the outfield, don't you?
I don't even know.
Dan, I mean,
I am the wrong one to ask all prospect questions.
All right. Yeah, well, I just, he's been tearing the cover. It's hard. Like, you have to go out of your way to not notice him in what he's doing in the minors. And when you're looking at a team that's trying to, you know, instill some offense into this team, I'm looking through the box scores again. I'm like, last night, I'm like, well, look, he's in Columbus now. And, you know, he did a great job while he was in Akron. And when are we going to see this kid up here? At what point will that happen? I don't know. If he continues to hit, he's hitting 366 between the two teams. He was hitting, 400 in Akron? So, I mean, those are softball numbers, kids.
What do you think of this? Last two games, Guardians get wins. Brian Rocchio didn't play. It clearly seems as if Stephen Vogt has decided, yeah, we need to find some offense here. And if that means I'm playing Schneeman at second and I'm moving Gabe to shortstop, see, if you're Gabe, aren't you hoping that you get more time at shortstop? Because you know second base is taken in a year or so.
Yeah.
So if I'm Gabe Arias, I want to play shortstop as much as I can. Now, if that comes at the expense of your buddy, that's the way pro sports works. I mean, that's just the way that is. And Arias at short, I think he's done a nice job defensively at second base. I've been impressed with him at second base. And shortstop to me is clearly his best position. It allows him to use his arm. But I do think it's interesting that Vogt has decided he doesn't have to have Rocchio in the lineup every day. And Brian, that's too bad, because Brian Rocchio, playoff edition, thought you might be onto something there, didn't you? I mean, he was hitting. His glove's really pretty dang good. But if he's not going to hit...
So,
well, and his glove this year hasn't been that good.
No, this year it hasn't been.
No.
And Gabe can play shortstop. He's got a big arm. I just think I think that might be a move that leads to some other things this year.
Let me ask the eternal sports question. You know, are they who we thought they were? They're 17-13. They are.
So far, they're exactly who.
They match who I thought they were gonna
be. Which is
them.
Okay, Andy, because I think this is fair. If we looked at the talent on the team, I thought, okay, this team can do what it did last year because I didn't expect them to do stuff last year, and I trust this front office to put out a competitive baseball team. Mm-hmm. But if you look at what they have, I think they're in the back of all of our heads was the thought of, could this go south? Could this not work? Because if you look at the talent that's on the field, I think that's a real valid thought. It hasn't happened yet. Has that surprised you, folks? 216-474-0092. Does it look like a team that's capable of pulling off what it did last year? I'd say maybe. And I wish I could be more definitive about that, but I don't think I can. It's Baskin and Phelps here on The Fan. I'm Jeff Phelps. My buddy's Andy Baskin. Guardians playing some pretty good baseball right now. They've been looking like a team, Andy, that can hang all year. Are they a team that can make the big run this year and really put it all together? I think that's a valid question. I don't know the answer to that. But I think it's interesting the way they put this team together this year, which, you know, that always has me, Andy, looking at what's not here anymore.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, you're not doing this, are you?
Why?
Oh, come on.
I always love looking at what's not here anymore. I like following our guys.
Are they our guys?
Like, they're still our guys. Once you're one of us, you're always one of us.
Are we doing Wheel of Regret, or should we just call it Turn the Page?
No, it's no Wheel of Regret. It's just information, updating.
It's Wheel of Regret. That's exactly what it is.
Who wins when we play this game?
We're not
aggravation.
Hopefully our lovely listeners win because they get information and food for thought.
Seriously?
I'd rather have food for my stomach, but food for thought.
It's like three-week-old Brussels sprouts being spread right in front of me.
I thought when Nolan Jones came back, we were done with
this. Yeah, baby, Nolan Jones.
The fact that he came back, wasn't that enough for you?
What? How's he playing for you?
Oh, 171.
Guess what?
I take it, he hits baseball's hard.
Guess what? He's hitting 80 points higher than the guy we gave up to get him.
Oh, all right. Well, that's better.
How about that?
Just think, if he was hitting a little worse, he'd have a street named after him in Columbus.
Tyler Freeman hitting 091 for the Colorado Rockies. He's been dealing with the left oblique strain, which, you know, that'll get everybody. Tyler, 091 with no home runs and one run batted in. So even though Nolan Jones is only hitting 171,
yeah,
win. And Dano, you're right. Doesn't it feel like Nolan Jones is just ready to kind of find it a little bit? He's, as you said, he's hitting the ball really hard.
He is. You'd love to see him get more playing time, as funny as it sounds. I partially wonder if that dude might be like, sometimes you get these platoon guys that shouldn't be in a platoon because they need those consistent at-bats.
Yes.
And I wonder if he fits that.
Yeah, but you know the problem with that? Could you say the same thing about Jeanquinzi Noel? Go ahead, say it. Say, he's just fine. Go ahead.
No, I like Jeanquinzi Noel. I think he's better in the platoon, though.
I don't know if Nolan Jones is. They got rid of a couple of guys in the bullpen, right? Eli Morgan for your Chicago Cubs, Andy.
Eli!
He's been dealing with right elbow neuritis.
So we're rooting for him to do bad then?
No, his ERA is over 12.
Oh.
So, you know, if you're looking and thinking, man, we sure could use Eli back here. Well,
Dan, maybe, what's analytics maybe say not about so somebody much. Who has an ERA over 12? What does that
maybe
say?
Maybe not so much. We're moving our way up to the bigger moves.
I had
right?
to check the book.
That's bad?
I checked the book. It says bad.
So Tyler Freeman's not having a good year.
Wow.
Eli Morgan's not having a good year.
They are cheering at the corner of Carnegie and Ontario.
No, they're not cheering because you want your guys to do well. You want everybody to do well and everybody to, hey,
so
that
it can come back
both.
And haunt you on it the wheel of regret.
Participation trophy Phelps.
It worked for both teams. That's what you want. I'm still trying to figure out.
Is that really what we want? No, we want.
Maybe they had to throw Nick Sandlin into the deal with Andrés Giménez. Do you think that was the case? Because, you know, Nick was Linus's security blanket for Stephen Vogt last year.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, he got hurt last year, remember, and he didn't come. He came back. He wasn't quite as good. He's pretty good for Toronto right now. So he's doing a nice job. His ERA is 2.25, and they're using him as a save. He's doing okay. So that's okay. You got rid of Giménez, and you brought in Dan's guy, Luis Ortiz, who was really good last night.
Is he your guy?
Yes.
Officially?
He just said he's going to do a victory lap if he keeps going.
I know, but is that
your... I love the minute that they made it, because everything that guy throws moves. And
which is good.
He's my kind of guy.
Which is good. Mm. And Andrés Giménez, full month in a week or two in March as a Toronto Blue Jay. Hitting a robust 165. So in other words, you're actually getting more productivity out of the second baseman that you're rolling out there right now if you're Stephen Vogt. That said, Andrés is such a phenomenal defensive player. And I'm sure he'll find a little bit more of a bat. But Andy, I cannot argue at this point with that trade because we know the salary that's coming down the pike here.
Mm-hmm.
And we also know that Bizana's on the way. Mm-hmm. And you got rid of Andrés Giménez before the salary kicked in.
Right.
And before he continued to not hit the ball real well, because you're going to pay a guy over $20 million if he's not hitting 200. Well, the Toronto Blue Jays are.
Yeah.
They don't have a choice on that.
So this isn't really Wheel of Regret, is it, kids?
It's a Wheel of Update. I told you.
Yeah.
I'm not regretting anything except maybe this. Josh Naylor's hitting .318 with 19 runs batted in. Top 30 in Major League Baseball in runs batted in. He's doing a nice job for the Arizona Diamondbacks. For the life of me, I can grasp some of the things that we've heard about that. You know, Josh, final year of his contract, you want to get something for him, you get Slade, you get a compensatory pick, blah, 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 or whatever kind of pick that was. Great. But you had Josh for another year, and you signed Carlos Santana for another year. Josh is hitting.
Mm-hmm.
Carlos is doing kind of what he's done for the last couple of years as he's bounced around the major leagues.
Mm-hmm.
I'd still much rather have Josh Naylor on this team right now. Now, I'm not in the clubhouse. I don't know if Josh is a bad guy, if he's a good guy. I know his on-field play looked infectious. Don't you think?
Yes. It was fun to watch. Let me just put it that way.
He got pumped up. He enjoyed. Yeah.
He's a fan favorite.
And
right?
It seemed like his teammates rallied around him on the field. I don't know if they rallied around him in the clubhouse or not. That one still doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. However, if Kyle Manzardo continues to play more first base, and you know you have two good prospects in the minors who continue to move up. Okay. Maybe your guy Slade becomes something. And so maybe. Right? It was a very Guardians type of move that most of them I kind of understand. I still don't understand this one. I understand the Jimenez trade. I don't understand this one. But first base has not been a major issue because Carlos Santana has been okay. And Kyle Manzardo, when he has played
first base. Hot.
Yeah,
he's
okay at first base, but he keeps swinging a great bat.
Makes me want to grow a mustache.
So that one I can – you kind of have one.
Not really. I couldn't grow a mustache if my life depended on it. I'd be done.
I've always said you look like Michael Andretti when you got that beard going.
Yeah, it's not really now. It's not good.
You don't think so?
No. Are you kidding?
If you could do it over again, would you make that Josh Naylor trade, or would you just have rolled Josh in this year?
No, I wouldn't have done it.
I wouldn't have made it then.
I don't know what it looks like in August, though.
You know what it looks like in August? If your guy, Kafis, or my guy, Ralphie, ends up getting hot, maybe they're playing first base and you trade Carlos Santana.
How much hotter does Kafis have to get? I mean, he was hitting 400 in Akron.
Well, you got to get hotter.
He comes up
than that.
To Columbus and he knocks a double and has a great game in his first game. I mean,
I think you have
to stay on fire.
I think he has to. Well, you hope he stays on fire.
He's going to. I'm telling you.
Okay, good.
Mark my words.
If he continues to hit and you want to bring him up, and then you have two guys who are young guys who play first base and another one on the way, maybe could you see them moving Carlos Santana?
Sure.
Could you?
Yeah.
Is he the guy that they brought in to be the solidifying force in the clubhouse and blah, 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 blah?
You have managers and coaches to solidify. I hate this when we talk about players.
Well, that's some of the word, wasn't it? Wasn't that some of the word?
I get it, but I mean, and every manager wants that one guy. He's the guy that keeps that clubhouse together. He's the liaison guy between, the coaching staff and the player. But come on, man. Do your job if you're a coach. You do it. Tell these guys what you want. Everyone wants to be coached.
You do it.
Everybody wants to be coached.
You don't.
Of course I want to be coached. If someone's going to give me something to make me better.
Dan doesn't.
No, that's true. Dan doesn't. I've seen him.
Dan's fine.
Right where young players wanted to be.
Young players who are going to get better always want to be coached.
Has the Emmanuel Clase concern been diminished completely? Or where are you on the concern level with Emmanuel Clase, Andy?
It's just a little quiet right now, right? Right, boys?
He's been better, right?
He did what you needed yesterday.
Yeah.
Still gave up a couple hits, though.
You okay there? He's gonna be your closer.
Yeah, right? For sure he is. They're not walking away from him. What in games that he was 10-1 through 11. I don't know. What is he now? 11, 12, maybe 12. I'm trying to remember what he is. The team, despite what you see, the team wins these games that he goes in. Even if he blows the save, the team ends up winning the game.
Yeah, that's not the ideal situation.
Of course it's not, but it's like, okay.
Let me throw this thought at you.
Mm-hmm.
Cade Smith has looked good as the closer, right? You got Hunter Gaddis. You got Tim Herron. You got young arms coming up. Would you move Clase? And do you think anybody would give you anything for him if he's not locked in? Do you think they could get him locked in and move him? I think that's a real possibility. And the only reason I say that...
Are you really going to walk away from this guy that was probably one of the most dominant guys to ever close last year?
No, I'm not going to walk away. I'm going to make a Guardians move. I'm going to trade a guy when he's doing well and maybe move one of our guys up. Now, Emmanuel's
not... Sell high, buy low? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, he's not on a bad contract. You know, he signed that extension and he's not making a ton of money. But If I'm the Guardians, I don't know that I'm thinking that. I don't know that I'm doing that. But I'm not ruling out that possibility, and I don't think they should. That's the type of thing a front office is supposed to do.
Right.
And, you know, Smith has been incredible in his bullpen efforts and when he's been the closer as well. Either one, it doesn't matter. And I just think that's something for us to keep in the back of our heads. Class A's still a young guy. He could be a dominant closer for another 5-10 years if they get him straightened out. And I wonder if they think long-term with him, or if they're thinking, great, we're going to milk this good team-friendly contract for as long as we can, then we're going to move on from
him. Well, that the contract stuff seems more closer to reality than what we're actually seeing on the Hill. Let's just put it that way. I mean, I can't, like, if you're Stephen Vogt, you're not walking away from the guy that gave you all of that last year.
Well, no, Stephen Vogt's not, but, I mean, but it's the front office.
But he's got to have a little bit of a voice in there. And I mean, but I don't think he'd win. But
Andy, I'm not moving.
I'm not moving away from him either.
But I threw that out as if you get to the trade deadline.
You'll be on the wheel of regret if you move him now.
Well, if you get to the trade deadline and he's doing okay, you know, he's doing fine. And you need fill in the blank, and you've got other guys in the bullpen who you think can be your closer. Andrew Walter's coming up. I mean, you drafted him to be your closer of the future. Future might be this summer. You never know. 216-474-0092 is the number to join us. A Browns wide receiver. And Browns didn't think he should be a guy they bring back. But a Super Bowl contender thinks he is. Next on Baskin and Phelps.